The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, hold this mule, I got to shout. Amen. Somebody said years ago, a man entered his mule in the Kentucky Derby. And somebody asked him, what'd you do that for? He's not going to win anything. He said, I know that, but the fellowship will do him good. And when I get around Dr. Hamlin, Dr. Sheldon Smith, and this good pastor, when it comes to preaching, I really don't win anything, but the fellowship does me real good. And I enjoy it. By the way, I just want to mention this. We, all the way from Washington, Iowa, we have one of our prize, top-of-the-line teenagers that's here visiting your church, anticipating or considering your college, Haley Port. Haley, would you stand? Would you mind standing? And there she is. And I just want you to know she's one of our best. And I was surprised to find, I didn't know she was going to be here. And I was surprised, and I'm glad about that. I'm open to Ephesians 5. I don't have time to tell jokes. I've got jokes that knock the hair slam off of your head. But as you can tell from some of you men like me, we've already heard them. And so now we're going to get into the book. Ephesians 5. Hey, everybody, stand up. Stand up from Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. What a thrill and an honor to be here with my good friend, Dr. John Hamlin, and also Dr. Sheldon Smith. God, in the Old Testament, gave men prophets, men of God, that they might know the signs of the times to know what Israel ought to do. God has raised up Sheldon Smith with a sense of direction about the world as it relates to God's work and God's churches. I marvel at his wisdom. I frankly think it's beyond his own ability. I think God is in enlightening because God knows how critically and important his position is in fundamentalism at this time. And somebody asked this morning, what books have been a blessing to you? I would advise you, young preachers especially, and the rest of us too, to line your take out some of that junk you've been collecting from sources that don't agree with us. Throw it away and line your shelves with sword books. A sword book is a good book. And take the sword of the Lord and read it every day. And you'll be blessed. I'm open to Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. Here's a message. I thought about leadership. And I thought about this message. And this will come in the back door on you. But leadership. And this message is too long for the time I've got, so I'm going to chop it in half. And Lord willing, I'm going to preach the other half tomorrow night. And so here we go. If this one comes out good, if this don't work good, if you're not blessed, I'll go with something else. But anyway, here we go. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a command of God. Immediately after he gives that command, he gives three evidences of the Spirit-filled life. In verse number 19, it's a happy heart. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In verse number 20, it's a grateful heart, giving thanks always for all things. In verse number 21, it's a submitted heart, submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Now notice the language here, submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Submission is a rare commodity in today's world because you live in the second generation of secular humanism that has taught you that you are to be the center of your world. And every commercial that you hear or see says that get the product you deserve. Get the service you deserve. Get the respect you deserve. It's all about you. You got to take care of you first. It's all about number one. But we that are spirit-filled understand the world is not to revolve around us, but we are to revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, if Dr. Hamlin and I do that, then, for instance, if we're revolving around him and we see him high and exalted and lifted up, we don't have any problem submitting ourselves one to another because we're little peons anyway. When you see him high and lifted up, you're not going to be too big. You're going to be very, very, you're going to be like Isaiah in Isaiah 6. It says, woe is me. I got to get down low here. I mean, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he got real small. And when Peter saw him in the boat, Peter fell down and said, Lord, I'm an unclean man. Get away from me. I can't. And so we don't have any problems submitting ourselves one to the other. It's one to the other. Now, immediately after he says submitting yourselves one to another, and don't mind standing there a little while, you'll be sitting down a long time before I do. Really, you will. But remember this. Immediately after he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, he gives four relationships we're to submit ourselves the one to the other in. The husband and wife relationships in verse 22 through the rest of the chapter. The parent-child relationships, the first four verses of chapter 6. The servant-master or employer-employee relationships, verse 5 through verse 9. And the God-child of God relationships, verse number 10 through the rest of the chapter. Now, in each of these relationships, each is to submit themselves the one to the other, as the Bible has commanded when it starts the conversation. It not only says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, but it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And he's saying to the husband, submit to your wife. Not in the sense you're going to let her be the boss and the head and run the home. No, we know too much Bible for that, but submission all the more. And then it says to the parents, or children in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that's submission. But then it turns around, verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it tells the children to submit to the fathers, but it tells the fathers to submit to the children. Because when you so discipline and control and master yourself to not provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, friend, that takes a whole lot of submission. And so the children are to submit to the parents, and the parents are to submit to the children. But then it goes on to say that servants, in verse 5 of chapter 6, are to be obedient to them that are their masters. That's submission. And then it says in verse 9 that the master should do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So not only is the employee to submit to the employer, but the employer is to submit back to the employee. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 5, yea, all of you be subject the one to the other and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now with that as a foundation, I'm going to drop a 100 megaton bomb on you right now that will change your life. And the reason I know it'll change your life, it changed mine. It totally transformed my life in a way beyond anything I could describe. And you'll find out, and I'll make a believer out of you that it did before I get done preaching. But before I tell you about this magnificent truth, it's not a great sermon and I'm not a great preacher, but there's a truth here that changed my life and it'll change your life. I know it will. And here's the thing. Before I tell you about that truth, I'm going to ask you to do something with me I never ask anybody to do in any other sermon, and it's something you can't deny and get around. It just simply says, Dear Lord Jesus, whatever you show me in that King James Bible tonight, I will obey. And I will adjust my life accordingly starting tonight. That don't mean you're going to get it all done tonight. It just means you'll start to get it done. You're going to set out to get it done. Some of you might get it all done tonight, but you're going to set out to get it done. And I'm not even asking you to believe what I'm going to preach. I'm just saying whatever you show me, Lord Jesus, in that King James Bible tonight. If it is clear, if it's obvious, if it's no private interpretation, but if it's clear and obvious in harmony with Scripture and very obvious, I will obey and I'll adjust my life accordingly starting tonight. Now I want to ask a question. How many of you tonight say, well, Pastor Brown, any child of God ought to say that much? How many agree with me that's a sensible thing? Get your hand up. Hold them up. Hold them up high. Keep it up. Don't take them down. Keep it up. Since you agree, let's do it. Take your hands down. Let's make this promise to God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pray this simple prayer in your heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, whatever you show me. Are you praying that to him? In that King James Bible tonight, I will obey, and I will adjust my life accordingly, starting tonight. I'll wait just a moment while you put an amen on that in your own heart and mind. Holy Spirit of God, I wish some way, somehow, I had the tongue of men and angels to transmit the truth that got a hold to me years ago. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll do for others what you've done for me tonight. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that in all things, Christ will be magnified in this service and sneak up on us through the back door. And Lord, I pray that you'll set the stage for a real revival in this church tonight and then in other churches through all of us that have gathered here. Bless us, Lord Jesus, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Now, as Brother Wells has said, I reiterate again, buckle your seatbelt. Buckle your seatbelt. Here's the truth. Not only does the Bible say that the children submit to the parents and the parents to the children. Not only does the Bible say that the wife should submit to the husband and the husband to the wife. Not only does the Bible say the employee should submit to the employer, but the employer to the employee. And not only does the Bible say that we are to submit to God, but the Bible clear when it says that God will submit to us and become our servant. He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. But wait a minute. In every case, in every place, bar none, these relationships are discussed. The subordinate is spoken to first and then the authority. Look at it in your Bible. If I was writing the Bible, I'd have started verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I'd have said, good night, husband. You're the head. I'd have started with him. Then I'd have run around and say, now, wife, you see what a husband I've given you. Submit to that man. He submitted to you in love, and you submit to him. That makes sense to me. But God didn't write that. He never did anywhere when these relationships are discussed. If I'd have been writing the Bible, I'd have spoke to the fathers first. I'd have said, now, you fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Then I'd have run around and I'd have said, now, children, you see what a godly father you've had. Now, he submitted to you in love and discipline and leadership. Now, you submit to him. That makes sense to me. That's what I would have written. But I didn't write the Bible. God did. And he didn't write it that way. If I'd have been writing the Bible, I'd have spoke to the employer first. And I said, get out of your stinking office. Get out there and help those people and teach them and show them what to do. And when they produce, give them a raise. And then I'd have run around to the work and say, look here, everybody wants a boss like that. Now, he submitted to you. You submit to him. That's what I would have written. But God did not write it that way. He never did. He always spoke to the subordinate first. If you want to turn forward 5 pages, I'll show you the exact same principle again. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Look at it, look at it, look at it. I got a long way to go in a short amount of time. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. That's the subordinate. Verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's the authority. Do you see it? You see what I'm talking about? God spoke to the subordinate first. Look in verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. That's the subordinate. Verse number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. That's the authority. Do you see the order? Verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters. That's the subordinate. Talks about that through the next 4 verses. Now chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. That is the authority. In every case, listen, you bring me one case in this King James Bible where God does not speak to the subordinate first, and I'll quit preaching this. Now you say, well, Pastor Brown, it's pretty clear from what I'm going to show you other places. But you say, it's pretty clear from what you've shown me, but why? Well, there's 2 reasons. Reason number one, if the subordinate does not submit first, the leader becomes the follower, and the follower becomes the leader. And the marriage will be out of order, and the home will be out of order, and the church will be out of order, and the government will be out of order, and that's why we're out of order. But there's a deeper reason. God made every one of us to submit ourselves the one to the other, and he created the nature in us to submit only in that order. If the subordinate pushes on authority, authority by nature will push back. If the subordinate submits to the authority, God made the authority with an inclination to submit back. Now, with that in mind, let me illustrate and take each of these and preach a little while about it. The first one was the husband and wife relationship, as we've seen here back in Ephesians 5. Speaks to the wives first in verse 22, gives three verses to them, and then goes to the husbands. Verse 25 tells them to submit back to the wife and goes through the rest of the chapter. As a matter of fact, everywhere you go, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, just jot it down. I'll be gone before you get there, but jot it down. Notice here, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. Look how the chapter starts. Likewise, ye what? Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I mean, he talks about chaste conversation coupled with fear. He talks about the hidden man of the heart. He talks about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. He talks about being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Then it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weak. Did you get the order? God spoke to the wife first, and then he spoke to the husband, because God built our nature in to submit one to the other only in that order. I believe Miss Kathy Rice is one of the greatest lady speakers that was ever in the United States of America. I think she's still living. Her godly husband, who's been long gone to heaven, Dr. Bill Rice, Ms. Rice was speaking to Bill Rice Ranch years ago to a large group of ladies. Now, I was told this, and I'm going to repeat it like I was told it. And Mrs. Rice was speaking to a large group of ladies, and here's what she said. She said, I always do everything my husband tells me to do. And I always do it with the right attitude. Now, there was at least one woman in that crowd, as we know of, as one of these bossy, run the home, run the husband kind of women. She didn't like that. That singed her tail feathers. I mean, boy, that cooked her. And she said, I'm going to catch her. So she looked up Dr. Bill later that day, and she said, Dr. Rice, your wife's quite a lady speaker. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Dr. Rice, do you know what your wife told the ladies this morning? No, ma'am. I have no idea what she told. Dr. Rice, your wife said that she always did everything you wanted her to do, and she always did it with the right attitude. And Dr. Bill Rice looked down and he chuckled. He said, well, she didn't quite tell the whole story. Whoa, it tickled her to death. I got her. And then he proceeded. He said, not only does she always do everything that I tell her to do, and not only does she always do it with the right attitude, but I, too, always do everything she wants me to do, and I always do it with the right attitude. Now, you listen to this Baptist preacher tonight. I've got my finger right now on the button I can push and turn any marriage in this room into a heaven on earth. When you get a woman that always does everything her husband wants her to do and does it with the right attitude, and in turn, because she submitted, that man, by inclination, yields back to her and says, honey, what do you want me to do? And always does everything she wants him to do and does it with the right attitude. Let me tell you something, Boudreaux. You're not going to get any closer to heaven than that till you walk through the pearly gates in heaven. Look, there was a lady heard this truth. And she was one of the, she had a husband that started everything and finished nothing. I mean, he had three junk cars sitting in the front yard with the motors out of them. And he was going to fix them up and make money. He'd been sitting there for 2 years. Her daddy wasn't that way. She said, I live in a junkyard. And boy, oh. I mean, and then he was going to remodel the bedroom. He had a pile of 2x4s laying against her bed. Had been there for months. She had to climb over 2x4s every night to get in her bed. And she never let him hear the end of it. Brother, she nag. She nagged so much, she was like that woman that nagged so much, her husband was named Walter. And when he died, she put on the tombstone, here lies Walter. May he rest in peace until we meet again. Nag. But one night in a service like you're in right now, she got under conviction and came forward and wept and repented and went home, told her husband, sit down, Buster. And he sat down. And she said, let me tell you something. I got a husband that for 20 years had brought home a paycheck. And I got a husband that for 20 years has been faithful and gone to church. And I got a husband for 20 years has been true to me. I got a husband for 20 years has been a good daddy. And I've got a husband that for 20 20 years has never cut one time cut his eyes at one of these little miniskirt wearing hip hugging hussies with much green eyeshadow on, look like her gallbladder's busted. Not one time in 20 years has he ever done that. And I've made our marriage a hell on earth over 2x4s and over junk cars. And I want you to know you've heard the end of it, Buster. I'd rather have you than to have the cars moved. I'd rather have you than to have the lumber moved. I'd rather. Oh, hold the phone. Guess what happened in less than 7 days? How many of you men know what happened in less than 7 days? The cars got moved, the lumber got moved, the project went on, and a woman discovered a husband she'd been searching for years. I had a lady in my church. I preached this years ago and went 13 years, never preached it. And then all of a sudden I picked it up and preached it. I thought that works pretty good. And she came to me. I'm talking about 20 years. Sunday school teacher, bus captain, her and her husband involved in the bus ministry. I'm talking about 3-time-a-weekers and singing in the choir and into everything and good Christian people. And she came to me. She said, Pastor, that was a wonderful message. I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, but that wouldn't work in our marriage. I said, oh, really? She said, no. I said, why wouldn't it? She said, why wouldn't it? She said, Pastor, he's wanting to buy a luxury car right now. She said, Pastor, we're trying to make house payments. When we give to God and give the tithe and offering, we can't put another dollar in our budget. If he goes and buys a luxury car, we'll lose our house. We'll go broke. I said, well, you won't go broke but once. He'll get the idea. She just stared at me. She didn't get mad. But she got real sick looking, real green. She said, but Pastor, I said, but what? I said, when are you just going to decide you're going to just do it God's way? She said, but Pastor, I said, but what? Do it. Just do it. 3 weeks later, she came to me. It worked. It worked. It worked. I said, of course it worked. You dink. I didn't say that. But anyway. I said, tell me about it. She said, well, we were sitting at the breakfast table. I never said a word. He brought it up. Boy, I'd sure love to buy that car. She said, I was eating my eggs. I said, buy it. He said, what? She said, buy it. He said, buy it. She said, yeah, buy it. I can tell you want it. Get it. You realize how many years it's been since we owned a new car? The smell of that leather. I'd be a prettier woman in that car. Buy it. Buy it. And in so many words, here's what she said to him. You listen to Pastor Brown. Who do you think I am? The boss around here anyway. It's your job to make these major decisions. If you think that's what I ought to do, do it. And she said, all the time I was thinking, Lord, are you sure this is going to work? She said, I never mentioned it to him for a week and a half. She said, a week and a half later, I brought it up to him. What about the car? He said, well, let me tell you about the car. He said, I want that car. But he said, you know, I've been thinking. If we buy that car, I don't know how we'd make house payment. No. Hey, do you realize what's happened here? Here is a woman that had a husband that was not a leader. This is a leadership conference, okay? Here is a woman that had a husband that was not a leader, that had never been a leader, that was not going to become a leader. As a matter of fact, God Almighty could not make him a leader because she was standing between him and God Almighty. She had him short-circuited from God. But when she got out of the way and dumped that responsibility between God and him, all of a sudden he said, whoa, hold the phone. If we get that car, it ain't going to be her fault if we lose our house. It's going to be my fault. And suddenly, he stepped into the place of responsibility that he'd have been in 20 years ago if she had just got out of the way and let God have his way. Amen. Let me tell you something. 42 years ago, I was going to get married. I was assistant pastor to Bobby Robertson Gospelite Baptist Church. I was a full-time. And I became engaged to Diane Norman. Wonderful Christian girl. We got married and lived together 39 years. And God called her home through cancer. But I want you to know I was going to get married. And I want you to know I was going to be an old-fashioned rabble-rousing, Jesus-loving, devil-hating, heaven-exalting, hell-dethroning, a fundamentalist. I was going to command my children and my household after me, and they were going to follow the ways of the Lord. I was going to tell that woman what to do, and she's going to obey. And I was going to. But she messed me up. You say, how did she mess you up? Well, just before we got married and just before I started to give her the orders, she submitted to me 100% lock, stock, and barrel and made it verbally and emotionally and mentally known, spiritually known, that she was starving to do everything I wanted her to do and to be everything I wanted her to be. How in the name of common sense are you going to boss somebody like that? What are you going to tell them to do? And not only that, she took the wheels off my wagon. And not only that, I caught myself saying, well, honey, what do you want me to do? Amen? Well, because, see, I could do that, and it didn't threaten my leadership. I could still be the leader and do everything that woman and obey that woman, if I may use that terminology. Because I could do that, it would not threaten my leadership because she had already submitted to me, so I could safely submit back to her. And I'll tell you something. I would have split a church nine ways from go if that woman had not submitted to me. She changed my nature. She changed my spirit. She changed my personality. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you a little secret. I was preaching this sermon about 3.5 years ago in Capital City Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. And there was a woman there that had been in that church 28 years, playing the organ, taking care of more things than I got time to tell you about. She had had 4 men ask her for a date in the 8 years since her husband had died with a heart attack. An independent Baptist preacher died with a heart attack. And I came and preached this sermon, first time she ever laid eyes on me in her life. And when I preached this sermon, in her heart, she said, I'd like to be married to a man like that. She didn't tell her children. She didn't tell anybody but God. But God told me. And you know what that woman did? That woman told my second oldest daughter about a year ago. She said, Sarah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up your mother. And I'm going to thank your mother for so submitting to Larry that it changed him into the kind of person that he is today. You're talking about leadership till tomorrow, but till we get this husband and wife thing straightened out, we're not going to have any leadership in our churches, because if you don't have some leadership in your home, you're not going to have any leadership in the house of God, and you're not going to have any leadership in the nation. Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you something, ladies. And by the way, ladies, men don't hit them too hard. Now, I'm coming down your tater patch here in a minute, and it's not going to be fun. Now, trust me. But, ladies, I know something about you that you don't know I know. Number one, you're going to get old. And the older you get, the more you're going to want and need security. That's the reason people sell their homes too quick and move into convalescent centers and then regret that they did. They get fearful. We're going to fall. We're going to run out of money. What's going to happen to us? You're going to get old. And the older you get, the more you're going to want security. And when you get old, you're going to turn around and say to your husband, honey, what are we going to do? And you know what he's going to say to you? I don't know what we're going to do. I don't have any idea. And you're going to say, what do you mean you don't have any idea what we're going to do? I mean, you're supposed to help and take care of me. Oh, you're going to live to hate that creature you've been creating all these years. Oh, yeah. But I know something else about you you don't know I know. And this really is going to blow the doors off. Many women in this room have never been loved by your husband the way you should be loved. And you know it. And I'm here to confirm your worst suspicion. And the sad truth is your husband knows it too, and he don't like it, and he wishes he could do something about it. Something's wrong. I mean, deep down, something's wrong. And I know what you're thinking. You say, yeah, I'm supposing you're going to tell me because I don't submit to him. No, ma'am, you got it backwards. That man has never loved you like you should be loved because he has never submitted to you. You see, his submission to you is the avenue through which his love flows to you. And only to the degree that he has submitted to you is the degree to which he can love you. If he's fully submitted to you, then he can fully love you. But he cannot submit to you till you first submit to him, because it's against his nature. You got him locked. You got your own love locked out of your life by lack of submission. You see, I celebrate 50 years of preaching this year. I've been walking in and out of Baptist churches for 50 years. I was in 68 churches in 52 weeks last year. And I've learned some things about the best of our church members. When it comes to our marriages in a church like this, I got some sad news for you. All that glitters is not gold. You can have the best looking marriages in your church, Dr. Wells. And even you'd even send people to them for counsel. And after years of marriage, that couple come in and drop a bomb on you, some incompatibility in their marriage, and blow the door slam off of your office. I mean, it's like one fella said, one lady said to her husband, "Honey, look at that couple over there. You can just look at them and tell they have a happy marriage." He looked at her and said, "Don't be so sure. They may be saying the same thing about us, you know." I know something. Oh, hold this phone now. I know something. I know something. All that glitters is not gold. And I'm talking about submission, lady. I'm not talking about what one woman said. "George, why is it that every time I decide I'm going to do what you say, you start telling me what to do?" I'm not talking about that kind of submission. But I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this: "But what if I submit to him, really like the Bible says, heart submission, but he does not submit back?" Well, I got good news for you, lady. If he don't submit back, you can just go out and get yourself another husband. Now, Dr. Wells just had a coronary. His heart dropped, his blood pressure elevated, and he's sitting back here trying to smile, and behind that smile, he's thinking, "Oh, my soul. I brought that brown guy in here. We thought he was straight. Even Dr. Smith said he was okay. And now he's going to get up and tell my women, they just go out and get yourself another husband." Oh, yeah. I'm not playing games with you now. You can. You say, "Do you have any Bible for that?" I sure do. The Bible says, "For if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulterer, though she be married to another man." You say, "But he's not dead." He's going to be. And when he dies, you can just go out and get yourself another. Bible will back you in that. And have yourself a good time out there flitting, flirting around the men, and get you a good next time. Oh, yes. Now, some of you men are laughing, but I'm not. Let me tell you something. I've been preaching funerals for 50 years. There is no telling how many funerals that I have preached of men who had a wife that submitted themselves to them, and they were so self-centered, bullheadedly, satanically stubborn that even with this inclination God built in them to want to submit back to that woman, they stiff-armed her and would not submit, and God killed them. There's no telling. I said, there's no telling how many. You see, I'm going to tell you something nobody may have ever told you before. We preachers can't get up and tell everything at funerals that we know. We preachers can't get up and tell everything. It's not good for community relationships. It's not good for church relationships. And it's not good for families to get up and tell everything, you know. But friend, I want to tell you, I'm talking about some of the most nice respect. I know. And by the way, there's men in this room, you have wives that have already submitted to you more than you have submitted back to them. And if I knew who you were, I'd be scared to get in your car and ride back to the motel with you tonight. I'd be afraid that God would kill you in a car wreck and I'd get caught in the judgment. I am not kidding. Now, let me tell you something. If a wife that'll submit herself to you is the greatest treasure on planet Earth. The greatest treasure on planet Earth. And if you don't realize that and submit back, you're going to get God in a killing mood. That's what you, let me tell you something. You're going to wrap your little Ford around somebody's oak tree late some night, and God's going to snatch you up to heaven prematurely while the pastor comes and tells what a faithful church member you were and how steadfast you had been for the last 25 years. You're going to be up in heaven. And about 3 years from now, you're going to look down and see your wife married to somebody else. And he's going to be living in your house. And he's going to be driving your car. He might even be wearing your clothes. He's going to be using your golf clubs. He's going to be riding your boat. And you're going to look down and realize what an idiot you've been. You better dig up. Sir, I'm not playing. I'm glad you're enjoying this, but I'm not being funny. I'm being factual. Oh, yeah. Amen. I preached this in upstate New York. A lady had an invitation, good altar call. And it was kind of a dry church. But the pastor was getting ready to close the service, good sized church, and a lady, 50-ish lady, raised her hand back and said, "Pastor, may I say something?" He said, "Yes." She said, I've been married and divorced twice. She said, I could have saved either one of those marriages if I'd heard this truth. She said, I tried to push those men to be what they ought to be. It didn't work. I got news for you. I was preaching this in another state. And an independent Baptist preacher and his wife had split up in their 30s, had four children, and I was preaching in a church, and the pastor's wife was there, and I didn't know it. Preached this sermon, gave the invitation. She came forward crying, and she said, my husband and I have split up, and it's my fault, and I didn't know it till tonight. I didn't see it till tonight. It's because of me. I tried to push him on some things to be. Lady, it's not going to work. I was preaching this in Burlington, Iowa, and a lady came up to me and said, I said, put my name on the list. I said, what list? She said, the list of those that lost their husbands. Let me tell you something, lady. I got news for you. And if you don't know this, a man needs to tell you this. And it's this right here. If you're married to a man, you're not going to push him to do anything. If he's a man. Now, if he's a Twinkie, you might. But if he's a man. I mean, if he wears lace on his pink under breeches, you might. But if he wears white Hanes, you're not going to push that man to do anything. Amen. Now, you just dig up a whole wagon load of that and haul it home with you. You're not going to push that man to do anything. Oh, yeah. I was preaching in your state. I forget which church. I just happen to remember now what church it was. I was preaching in your state. Preached this sermon, gave an invitation. A fella came to me. He said, I've been a lawyer in this town for 26 years, a Christian lawyer. Been born again for many years. He said, I had a wife that submitted to me just like you preached tonight. I did not submit back. And God didn't kill me. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, he did something worse. I said, what's that? He said, God looked down and said to my wife, you don't have to put up with that. You don't have to put up with people when you love them and give them your heart and they won't love you back and abuse you verbally and won't love you and submit back to you to be everything you need, do everything you need them to do and be what you need in a husband. You don't have to put up with that. I'll take you to where everybody loves everybody all day, every day. I'll take you to where no sad or cruel words are ever spoken. I'll take you to where the flowers never cease to bloom and the joy never ceases to roll. And he said, God took my wife to heaven, and now I got the rest of my life to think about it. Let me tell you something, sir. You better not play games with the Holy God. You better not play games with the Holy God. Well, that's point one. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'll take up there tomorrow night. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.